Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As we begin, let me read for us two verses in Genesis. First, I want you to hear the word of God and the will of God for Adam and Eve in the garden in Eden. I'm reading Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. This is God speaking. From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. This is clearly God's word. He said it. And this is clearly God's will. He does not want the first man and the first woman to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God says, "You shall not eat." That describes God's will. Second, I want you to hear the Bible at our verse, Genesis 3:6. This is Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. What this verse so clearly says is that Adam and Eve intentionally disobeyed the word of God and the will of God. Genesis 2:17 was violated here at Genesis 3:6. As we reflect on this original sin, I want to bring in some of our friends to help us reflect on what is here at verse 6. 16th century theologian, pastor, and leader of the Protestant Reformation, John Calvin writes of what Adam and Eve did, quote, "Never would they have dared to resist God unless they had first been incredulous of His word. All reverence for God is shaken off when His word is despised." End quote. Those are poignant words. This is very insightful. We find in Calvin the emphasis on how first Eve and then Adam shook off the word of God from Genesis 2:17, and then they defied the will of God by eating of the tree in Genesis 3:6. Never would they have dared to resist God unless they had first been incredulous of His word. All reverence for God is shaken off when His word is despised. John Calvin goes on to write about how Eve was led away from the word of God by the words of the serpent. Having forsaken God's word, she was then willing to hear what the serpent, really Satan, had to say. And think about this. Previously, Eve looked at that tree, but it had no allure for her because she was walking in the word and in the will of God. But after her dialogue with the serpent, she no longer had faith in the word of God. Then with doubt in the word of God, suddenly, shockingly, and quickly, she has this desire to eat of the tree. Edward Young, who I will say more about in a minute, says it is that Eve sees this tree as though for the first time. Derek Kidner, another commentator, writes about, quote, "The visual evidence is potent. God allows the forbidden its full appeal. Eve listened to a creature instead of the Creator, formed her impressions against her instructions, and made self-fulfillment her goal." And it should be about now, when you and I consider our own sin in light of the insights these friends have given us into the choices Eve and her husband Adam made. There is much application here for each one of us. For anyone who despises the word of God, what must certainly follow is to then defy the will of God. So the tried and true attack of Satan has always been, from the time of his very first temptation, to get people to listen to and believe him rather than to listen to and believe God. Therefore, the Bible has been under a constant and relentless attack since God superintended its writing and its distribution. That's why those of us who uphold the Bible as God's true and authentic word, holy, inspired, without error in its original manuscripts, and infallible, are constantly having to defend what we believe. It is shocking what is said about and accepted as true, even in many so-called evangelical churches and seminaries today. And then, of course, we have the outright heresy promoted from within so-called schools of theology that used to believe in the inspiration and infallibility of God's word, but no longer do. Think of Princeton or even Harvard. This is a long list, so I do not want to take time to call out all these schools, other than to say we need to be very discerning as to where our young ministers and pastors and teachers are being educated. The Bible is under attack in such places. And then, of course, there is Satan's same strategy at work in our lives and how we have walked by a potential temptation and never even noticed it. As long as we were being discipled in the Word of God and yielding ourselves to the will of God. But if the devil can get us out of the Word and away from the will of our Heavenly Father, aha, then he can strike us with unrelenting temptation to which we then fall. Just like what he did to Eve and Adam in the garden in the presence of that tree. At first, the tree was no temptation at all, but then the serpent came and jumping out of the Word and the will of God, the couple fell straight into horrific sin. Anyone listening who is a parent or a child, especially an adult child, will relate well to this. Out of love for the child, the parent warns the son and the daughter, saying, "Do not do that." The spoken warning is clear, and at first the child clearly understands what not to do and is very careful not to do it. Dad and mom's will is well known, and the child commits to do their will as manifested by their word. But then one day, the son and daughter begin to call into question their parents' word and their will. That is a tantalizing temptation. Would it be so bad if I... And the child ignores the warning and has their own way. Then comes the hard consequences of their actions. How many have regretted the choice? "I should have listened to you," the parents are told. I think we can all recall times in our lives when we did not listen to our parents and the consequences of our actions were something we have not been happy to live with. But how much worse is this when we are outside and away from the word and the will of God? Eve saw the tree as Satan wanted her to see it, and she began to lust to taste it. Between Genesis 3 verse 1 and Genesis 3 verse 6, Eve accepted Satan's lie to be her truth. Edward J. Young, who was professor of Old Testament at Westminster Theological Seminary in Pennsylvania for many years, gave these penetrating comments in his 1966 very readable book simply titled Genesis 3. Eve was no neutral. Whether or not she realized the nature of her thoughts and actions, she did not look equally upon the commands of God and those of the evil one. For she was very definitely upon the side of the evil one, and her actions flowed from a heart that had fallen from God and was in bondage to sin. Eve followed what is sometimes called the scientific method. She believed herself capable of evaluating all the facts of reality, including the fact of God and his commands, and passing upon them an impartial judgment. God had laid down certain commands, but these commands must be weighed in light of the serpent's commentary. End of quote. I'll add that obviously Eve chose the serpent's commentary. Dr. Young continues, God's commands were sufficient reason for obedience. Far better would it be for Eve to say, God commands this, and although I may not understand all the implications of his command, nor even the reason why he has uttered it. Nevertheless, because I love him, my delight is to obey him." End quote. Well, obviously, Eve and soon Adam were unwilling to do that. They did not obey God merely because God commanded it. Their love for God and trust in God were not strong enough to overcome the temptation to eat of the forbidden fruit. What about you and me? Let's not leave today's content in an older book I bought from a used bookstore. And let's certainly not leave Genesis 3 without applying this to our lives. God has commanded us as well, and his commands are sufficient for our obedience. Let me say that again. His commands are sufficient for our obedience. And we also face the reality that we often do not understand all of the implications of his commands and the reasons why God has said, do this or do not do this. Well, these reasons are hard to grasp. And yet, do we love him enough that, like Jesus, it becomes our delight to obey him? Personally, very aware of my proclivity towards sin, I am taken by this. God's commands are sufficient for my obedience. The word of God is written. The will of God is known. That is sufficient for me to obey. Why is it then that I do not obey? I step away from this microphone now, recommitting myself by the grace and power of God to follow God's word and God's will out of my love for him. Will you join me in your life? Let us confess our sins to him and receive his forgiveness. And let us face our temptations at this hour, finding the way out Jesus promises to provide to us. And let us pray for one another. Endure then until tomorrow, and join me then, for God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.